We're going to be discussing what exactly is prohibited during the 3 weeks. And obviously the 9 days have a separate conversation, which we'll probably have Mitzvah next week. But this week I want to discuss some of the prohibitions that exist for the 3 weeks. The first of the sources over here takes us to the Rishonim. It's the Maharil. Now what's interesting about the Maharil was really the source of Ashkenazi customs. The Maharil is really where many of the later Achrenim, meaning the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah and others, they got a lot of their Minhagim from what they found in the earlier Minhagei, Ashkenazic, good old-fashioned Ashkenazic Jewry, which is found in the Maharil. Maharil writes like this, Toiv limnoya milavarech zman, it's better. You're going to be medayik in the Lashon over here, these are Rishonim. Toiv limnoya, it's better to refrain milavarech, to make a bracha, milavarech zman, to make the bracha, shachiyan wa'al shum pri chadash, on any new fruit, kol bein amitzarim, throughout the entire 3 weeks. Kedei lemayit simcha, in order to decrease one's joy. An interesting Lashon in the Maharil. Maharil doesn't say usur, he doesn't say loy, he says toiv limnoya, it's good to refrain. It sounds almost like, it would be a nice thing to do, but if you're pressed up against the wall, you could do it. Toiv limnoya, it's better not to say shachianu. Why? Kedei lemayit simcha, to be lemayit in your simcha. So it would sound like from the simple reading of this Maharil, that the reason why shachianu is not allowed to be recited during what we call the Bein HaMetzarim, the 3 weeks, has something to do with simcha. And we want to be lemayit our simcha during the 3 weeks. If you look at number two in the Sefer HaChassidim, which is also a similar Sefer to the Maharil, the same idea, was also a likut of various minhagim that was happening during the time of 1100s, 1200s in Europe. And he writes also, interestingly enough, he writes, Yesh Chassidim. This doesn't mean the guys with the long pace. Yesh Chassidim, there were those pious Jews. So he says it a little differently. He says there were chassidim. That means extra frum people. Doesn't mean the regular hamoin am didn't do it. It just meant the extra frum people wouldn't do it. Because they said, how could we recite those words? So both are bringing down the minhag, which obviously was very accepted in that time, taking us to, let's say, this minhag is already starting from the 1100s and the 1200s. In Ashkenazic communities, this was rather widespread. A little different way of saying it. Either it was only amongst the Hasidim, or it was like a lechatchila not to do it, but there was such a minhag dating back to at least the 1200s, 1100s, that they wouldn't say Shachriyana during the 3 weeks. And it seems to be two different reasons given. One reason from what we'll call the Maharil's reason was somehow because it's too much simcha. And the reason of the Sefer HaChassidim sounds to be like because of the technical problem. How do you recite the words? I'm so happy to be at this point. I don't want to be at this point. It's such a sad time to be. This is all in the world of the Rishonim. If you take a look in the Shulchan Aruch, number three, the Shulchan Aruch actually brings this lahalach. And the Shulchan Aruch's wording is also very interesting. Shulchan Aruch doesn't say Asur loymar shechianu bein amitzarim. He writes Toiv liyizoer meloymar shechianu bein amitzarim. It's better not to say shechianu during the bein amitzarim. So that almost sounds like the words of the Maharil. Sounds like he's cutting pasting from the words of the Maharil. What's interesting, if you look in the Ber HaGaila, I didn't photocopy it, but the Ber HaGaila says that the mekar of this mechaber is from the Sefer HaChassidim. It's interesting because the Sefer Chassidim, the way we have in front of us, he says, Yesh Chassidim, Shalahu Aicham. Not every person, only those pious Jews shouldn't do it. I'm not such a pious person, I don't have to do it. But the Shulchan Aruch writes, a person should try not to say Shechiyon Obein HaMitzarim, Al Pri Oy Al Malbush, whether it's going to be on a new fruit or clothing. I think clothing is more relevant for most of us than on the new fruits. Avul says the Shulchan Aruch, Al Pidyon HaBen, but if you make a bracha, Shechiyon Al Pidyon HaBen, that you're allowed to say, V'lo Yachem Mitzah Mitzvah, so you shouldn't lose it on the mitzvah. Then he goes further. Let's say you go to the fruit store and there's this wonderful fruit that you will not find at the Tisha B'Av. Says either now or never. So motu levorech, you're allowed to make the bracha. Will achle bein amitzarim to eat it during the 3 weeks. The problem with this mechaber and Shulchan Aruch is this is the mechaber talking. We learned last week that this whole idea of the 3 weeks is really not a mechaber thing. It's really only for Ashkenazic Jewry. As far as the Mechaber is concerned, the Avelis of the 9 days starts with either Rosh Chodesh or Shavuot Shechalba. So why would the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch bring down a din starting from the 3 weeks? Now, we spoke last week that the Mechaber did mention two minhagim of 3 weeks. One of them was there was a minhag to fast the entire 3 weeks. Another minhag brought down in Shulchan Aruch was not to eat basav yayin. But those two are not widely accepted. This one is very widely accepted, even amongst Sephardic Jews. So the question is, it doesn't make any sense. According to the Mechaber, this halacha shouldn't be true. Why should I not? Why should the 3 weeks create any restrictions for the mechaber? The mechaber doesn't believe in the 3 weeks. That's why they can make chasanas, and that's why they can take haircuts, they can listen to music. They don't have any restrictions that we do. So why is this din brought down in the Shulchan Aruch? So the Magen Avraham be'etzem asks this kasha. The Magen Avraham is troubled. He wants to know, why would the Shulchan Aruch bring this l'halacha if the Shulchan Aruch l'shitas doesn't believe in the 3 weeks? So the Magen Avraham number 4 writes like this. First of all, he says, u'bishah b'shari. You have to know that this Shachianu issue is not a problem for Shabbos. If you're going to put it on Shabbos, if the new fruit's on Shabbos, it's for sure not a problem. So this knocks out a lot of the shaylas. Let's say someone buys a new suit during the 3 weeks. Someone buys a new hat during the 3 weeks. So if you put it on Shabbos, it's not a problem. Put it on, make your Shachianu, we have no problem. Why is Shabbos mutter? What's the special kula of Shabbos? Why is it so pasha that Shabbos is mutter? So it might be totally in the two reasons why we don't make a Shachianu. If it has to do with the reason that the Maril brings, or it has to do with the reason the Sefer HaChassidim brings. But the Magen Avraham goes further, and he writes, "Ubekisve Arizal also afilu b'Shabbos." But the Arizal held, and many Chassidim follow this, that even on Shabbos they won't make a Shachian. What's the Shaila? Yes, Shabbos, no Shabbos. What's exactly the premise for the Shaila? But then he goes further. Venerali to imchal yidzayim b'tamos b'Shabbos. If Shavuos b'tamos fell on Shabbos like it did last week, v'nitche and it gets pushed off, mutter l'kuliyamo. That even the Arizal will tell you, you can say Shachian on last Shabbos. Why is this line so important? This line is important because we saw a tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein last week. Rav Moshe Feinstein held that last Matzah Shabbos, according to all opinions, you would not be allowed to recite a Shachianu, and the rules of the 3 weeks started last night. We spoke about this last week, that according to Rav Moshe, even though on a regular 3 weeks, if it were to start on a Wednesday, the night before Rav Moshe held Lutzairich, you'd be allowed to shave. But Rav Moshe wrote in the tshuva, if it's a nitcha, then according to everyone, you wouldn't be allowed to shave last Matzah Shabbos. Why, says Rav Moshe in the tshuva? Because the Avelus already started on Shabbos. So we asked, what started on Shabbos? What couldn't you do last Shabbos? So he said, maybe you can't say a Shachianu. But here the Magen Avraham says, not like that. The Magen Avraham says, even those who don't say Shachianu, last Shabbos, you could have said a Shachianu. So there was mamish no relevancy to the Avelis last Shabbos. So it's a Tzarechin Dami, what Rav Moshe was referring to. But says the Magen Avraham, V'tamo Isser, why is it a problem to say Shachianu? Nearly, kiven the Hazman, Hahu, Zman Peranius, Ein Levarich Shachianu L'Zman Hazeh. You can't say the words. But it's not because of Avelus. Because we don't find anywhere that an Avel is not allowed to say Shechianu. So what is the Magen Avraham screaming to us? He's come out repeating the words of the Sefer HaChassidim. That the problem with saying Shechianu is not because of Avelus. Why? Says the Magen Avraham, because an Avel is allowed to say Shechianu. And I would add, because the Shulchan Aruch doesn't believe in any Avelus starting from the 3 weeks. So then why would the Shulchan Aruch say, now I say Shechianu? It must be it's not about Avelus. It's about a separate din. It's about this, the wording. You can't say these words because these magical words, Dr. Magen Avraham, it's a Zman Peronius. It's a bad time. And therefore, it's not befitting to recite the word, Sheikh Yonah Vikimonah Vikyonah Lazman. So this Magen Avraham seems to be very much in line with what we saw B'Shem the Sefer HaChassidim. But what the Magen Avraham... Pashtus, right? That's right. Right? There's a whole discussion about this in Hilchas Chanukah. There's a whole shayla, does an oval say Shechianu? A regular oval, Vadis makes a Shechianu. The Moshe Tabru brings down that if he's the one lighting the nearest in Shul, he shouldn't say Bifar Hesya. There's something about this declaration of Shechianu that sometimes is perceived as you're going on. Even though, again, you're right. We're not talking about, I'm here to be here. I'm here to do the mitzvah. Or I'm here that I get a new pri. We talked about this when we did the sugya of Purim. The Shechianu on the Megillah during the day, we discussed it. Is the Shechianu on the Kiyum HaMitzvah? The Shechianu is on being at this point. So that shayla comes up again over here as well.
It would seem, other than Tisha B'Av itself, none of the 3 weeks is anything of avails. For instance, the novel can get married.
That's right, but at least we know that the concept of not having a chasana would somewhat be connected to an avelus reason. We spoke last week that it might not be true. It might be that a lot of the Ramah's 3 week things are not avelus things. They might be the same idea, but it's not a good time. We quoted two from the Shvus Yaakov. The Shvus Yaakov said the reason why we don't make chasana during the 3 weeks is not because it's an avelus, because it's just not a good time to make a chasana. It's a bad mazel. It's a bad perani. It's like this Magen Avraham. So there is such a thought like that not everything has to be avelus. The problem with that is haircuts are clearly avelus. And that the Ramah says we start already from the 3 weeks. So that I have a kasha, how are you going to answer that? So this Magen Avraham seems to be very much in line with what we saw B'Shem the Sefer HaChassidim. What the Magen Avraham does for us is he answers two kashas. He answers kasha number one, why would the Shulchan Aruch have any Hilchas Avelos if the Shulchan Aruch doesn't believe in Hilchas Avelos? The answer is it's not Hilchas Avelos. The Yisrael over here says the Magen Avraham has to do with the wording of the brach. The Gra and Shulchan Aruch didn't agree with this Magen Avraham. And the Gra writes, and this is a famous line from the Gra number 5, Chumrer Yisei Rahi. The Gra says this whole Shulchan Aruch is a Chumrah Yisera. He thinks the Mechaber was too frum. Why? Says the Gemara, how could the 3 weeks be more chomer than a real avil the day a relative dies? Even says the Gemara, sounds like if a person finds out a relative dies and he gets a big Yerusha, so if there's someone else that's going to enjoy it, and then Barach is at Taiva Meitin. If it's just him, then he recites the Shachianu. Says the Gemara, so you see from the Gemara and Barach is that an Avil, a real Avil, who just lost one of the Kraivim, he's allowed to make Shachianu. Yet a guy during the 3 weeks can't say Shachianu, it's a Pella. Zok the Gemara, how could it be? And therefore the Gemara tain is that this Shulchan Aruch is what he calls a Chomer Yaseir. Aye, says the Gemara, the Avshe Magen Avram Dachik Atzmoy. Even though the Magen Avraham Bavorin this kasha, and he said, you're right, it's not as avelus, it's als the wording, enay klum, nothing doing. So yesh lodin, I think we could debate, what exactly is the Gra mean when he says enay klum? What didn't he like about the Magen Avraham? What I think the Gra didn't like about the Magen Avraham is, who made up this new thing, because it's his mom Perennius. Who told you? It's yeah avelus or no avelus? What does his mom Perennius think? Right, there's a din that it's a bad time, and it's a bad time. He can't say the word Shechianu v'kima. Who told you? Mechatesa. So therefore, the Gros says, if it's Avelus, so it's got to be Avelus. If it's Avelus, it doesn't work. Now, you can ask the Gros Kasha slightly different. You can ask the Gros Kasha, if it's Avelus, according to Shulchan Aruch, there is no Avelus at this time. So what do you see is that the Machloikis Magen Avraham and Gros is really the Maril and the Sefer HaChasidim. They're debating what was the premise for this minhag that was already around in the times of the early Ashkenazic Jewry in the 1100s that they weren't saying Shechianu. Was it a din of Avelus? Kedei Lamayit Besimcha sounds like something to do with Avelus. Or was it a technical problem? It had to do with the Nusach HaBracha of Shechianu V'Kimanu, and that was the Shaila. So it's a Machloikis Rishayim possibly, or again Minhagim, into that's the Machloikis Magen Avraham and Taz.
Why can't you say that Maril is not talking about Avelus? He's talking about there's another category.
So we're going to say that it has to be true. We're going to prove that a little later on. And it might even be Maril Shitase, as we're going to see a little later on, that there might be a concept found in Paiskim, that there's a concept, even during the 3 weeks, that we shouldn't do things that are what's called the Simcha Yaseir. Even though, again, Mishenichnas Av Mematim Simcha is Av, not before. But this might be a Maril Shitase. Hopefully we'll get to that in a few minutes. So how do we pass on Halachah? I said we could tumble the lomdus all we want, but this seems to have been a pretty accepted. Abdi Nezer writes in a tshuva that this not saying Shechianu became very accepted. Even though, again, you read the Shulchan Aruch, you'll say, Toiv Milizar. Okay, I don't want to be Lizar. It says Toiv. I don't want to be Toiv. Or you look at the Gra calls it Chum Yaseir. So one would have thought that there's room to be lenient. Abdi Nezer writes, now this is one of those biggies. This was widely accepted. So the Mishnah Berurah Paskins at number 6, very, I guess you'd call it conservative, he writes that the Gra is Mekel. And the Taz is Mekel. He writes, V'alkein b'Shabbos ein l'achmer b'zeh. At least on Shabbos, you can get away with saying Shechianu. The B'lav v'achy ha'b'achrenim askivim l'hokal b'Shabbos. So the Mishnah Berurah Paskins, like the Magen Avraham, Shabbos you don't have to worry about. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan is even more Mekel. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, U'manigenu l'bli l'varech Shechianu me'rish chodesh av v'eilech afilo b'Shabbos. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, he thinks the minhag is the other way around. That once it's rish chodesh av, then we don't even make on Shabbos. Avo mekodem. But before what we call the 9 days, Mevarchin, no problem, you can make a Shechianu. So he's even more Mekel. So we have the Gra on one hand who held the whole thing's not a problem. Now we have the Aruch HaShulchan who holds up to Rosh Chodesh is not a problem. So there's definitely room to be leading, one would have thought, to recite a Shechianu even during the 3 weeks. If you look at number 8, it's a very small print, but it's important. Kveiga quotes from the Beis Yehuda. The Beis Yehuda says that not only are you allowed to recite a Shechianu on Shabbos, you can also recite a Shechianu on Rosh Chodesh. Which means, let's say, next week, next Friday, you want to put on a new suit, so you can put your suit on at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Say Shechianu at 2 o'clock. Now, the Shaaret Zion brings this with Kivega Lahloch, which means he believes that it's true, that Rosh Chodesh has the same status as Shabbos. And one has to debate, what's the Svara? If it has to do with the wording V'Higyanu L'Zman Hazeh, so then, Rosh Chodesh, we're noig Avelus. We're noig all dini Avelus on Rosh Chodesh. And even on Shabbos, we're noig some Avelus. Maybe not before Hesia, but Sin, we're noig some stuff. So why is Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh mutter? So this, I think, needs a little bit more of a discussion. It's not for tonight. Why is it so pasha to these Achrayim that Shabbos, all bets are off because of Shabbos? Why is that? If we're noig Avelus on Rosh Chodesh, if Kvega says Rosh Chodesh, you can say Shechianu. Next Friday, you want to go out and make a major purchase, buy it on Friday, say Shechianu on Friday, no problem. Why? You're not allowed to eat meat next Friday. Now they have wine next Friday. All dini avelus of the 90s start next Friday. So why is this any different? So you'll tell me it's not because of avelus, it's because of the wording. So Rosh Chodesh is like a freebie, it's a safe day. Yeah, it needs a little bit more hezbah. But halach l'maisa, so this is the way they paskin, that it's not a problem. There's a piece of Taz over here, which needs much more time than I'm going to give it this evening. The Taz disagrees with the whole premise of the Shulchan Aruch as well. He says, the Mechaber told you, if let's say you come to the fruit store, and this is the fruit you want, and it's a Shechiyana fruit. If you don't buy it now, the fruit's going to get lost, and it's going to spoil and get rotten, and someone else will get it. Then you're allowed to buy it and say the Shechiyana. So, Taina the Taz, Lefizeh, every day I'm allowed to make a Shechiyana. Because maybe I'll die tomorrow. Who knows? I won't be around tomorrow. Instead of the object not being around, the person might not be around. So Dr. Taz, if I don't buy the suit now, I'm going to buy the suit after the 3 weeks, who knows what's going to be then? So Dr. Taz, I'll bring you right. There's a taisvis in Moed Katan that says, we're allowed to write down, Batei Dinim, court cases are allowed to be written on Chol HaMoed, because maybe someone will die. So you see, we're worried that people are going to die. So Dr. Taz, you see that we're always worried a person's going to die, and he's going to lose the Shechian. So the Taz throws away this whole premise. So the Ksav Sefer has a tshuva where he takes big issues with the Taz's right. One right, he says, is a bad sushtel. By a court case, there's many people involved. You have the defendant, you have the prosecutor, you have witnesses, you have judges, you have 5-6 people that can go at any point, and if they go, we lose the whole case. If it's just one person, one guy can live. 5 people, then the numbers are much higher. He has a bunch of other caches on this task. Yeah.
I was going to go more with forgetting quantities. The court case, you have to try the court case. You don't have to buy it.
Right. That's also true. So there's a lot of caches on this sushtel that the Taz makes, the Taz is a might cut. But the Mr. Brew mentioned this Taz is one of those achrayim that hold that Shechian was not a problem. So if you want to pile up the list, so we have the Shulchan Aruch who calls it Toiv. You have the Groh calls it a Chum Yisera. Or Cheshulchan says it's Mutar up to Rosh Chodesh. But the Mr. Brew seems to sound like that we should try to be machmir as much as we can. So there's a famous tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein, where this is Mamish Nagiyah. Someone called me up this week, he's getting married after Tisha B'Av, and he wants to go now and buy the Talos Gadol. Can you buy the Talos Gadol before Tisha B'Av? Okay, buy it now during the 3 weeks. So he wanted to buy 2 things. He wanted to buy a Talos Gadol and a Kittel. So Kittel is a no-brainer. You know that. Okay, good. That's what we're going to get to in a second. We're going to talk about that. Pashtus, it's only when you put it on. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he talks about 2 things. Three things. He talks about buying new tzitzis, buying new talis gadol, and buying new tefillin. So Rav Moshe writes like this, number 10. Talk to Rav Moshe, K'nishis dam lo liknes tefillin chadoshim, and a person needs to buy new tefillin, vadei mutter, no problem. Kivin shu rak l'mitzvah. I don't want to wear tefillin. It's not a fashion statement. It's something I have to do. Utalis shu begin. What about a talis? Mistavish she'aser. He doesn't express why that's not a taina. No one wants to wear a talis as part of their dress code. You need to wear a talis, because that's what we're taught. You wear a talis. So one would have made the argument, there's no great simcha when you buy a talis. It's something you have to do. So where would the simcha be? So Ramesha addresses it, but doesn't really answer it well. Then he says, what about Shechiyanu? So he, because in his mind, the talis is much more of a beged. It's still considered a beged in the family of begadim. When we buy a new beged, we make a shechem. Tefillin is more like an object that doesn't create such a simcha, so to say. Even though, again, it's not a real, it's as beged as much as the tefillin is something you need to do. So as we'll see, there are those achrayim who say like that. But Ramesh didn't hold like that. I'm not sure why. Then he goes like this, and he says, if it's a talis gadol, mevorechim kuli almadu, vade beged choshev. Ubetalis katan raklim, isha choshev loy. Someone who takes his talis katan very seriously, and it's very important to him, so he should make a shechion. Most of us don't view our talis katan as such a big deal, even though they're somewhat expensive, especially if you're putting tchelos on it. It gets quite pricey. Says Rav Moshe, afshe b'shvil ha-mitzvah choshev lo, even if you don't cause it a mitzvah, lo yimistaver levarech, kivin she'etzem ha-beged ein choshev lo. Even though it's important to you because it's a mitzvah, but still the actual beged doesn't change in value. The osser liknes talis gadol af mitzayim betamuz, says Rav Moshe, but it would be osser to buy a beged, a talis gadol from shivasa, from yushchayde, from the 3 weeks, because of the Shechiyanu, the chayin talis katan l'mishu hu choshev lo. So Rav Moshe's opinion is if you take your talis katan so seriously, whenever you buy a new talis katan, you make a Shechiyanu, you take a candle during the 3 weeks. But, says Rav Moshe, talis gadol, every time you buy a new talis gadol, you should make a Shechiyanu. So the question I have on this Rav Moshe, was he talking about someone who's buying it to wear it during the 3 weeks? A guy whose talis rips. So he's got to go tomorrow, and he's got to buy a talis and make the Shechiyanu. And then I hear Rav Moshe saying, what happens in the case that I was discussing, where the person's going to make the bracha after the 3 weeks? Well, let's say someone wants to buy a suit. Another shayla someone was telling me today, he wants to buy a suit now for a chasana after Tisha B'Av. So he buys the suit now, he's not going to wear it, he's going to first put it on after Tisha B'Av, so what would it be? So, pashtus, it shouldn't be a problem. Because there's nothing intrinsically wrong with the purchase. The problem is the bracha, however you're going to learn it. But if you're not making the bracha for whatever reason, it shouldn't be a problem. Interestingly enough, in the Sefer Mesoiris Moshe, Rabbi Tendler asked this kasha to Rav Moshe. He asked Rav Moshe, what happens when you're putting on something that you're not going to make the Shechiyanu now, but you're only going to make it later? So Rav Moshe told him, as an alumnus, Rav Moshe told him, no. Reciting the Shechiyanu is not the end all. It's a simon. If it's such a chashuv a beged that when you'll put it on, you'll make a shechianu, that's a right, that it's a big deal type of purchase, and it should be done during the 3 weeks. That's what Rav Moshe told him. Which means, according to Rav Moshe, it would be prohibited to buy something that gets a shechianu, even though I'm not saying the shechianu now, but because it's such a purchase that gets a shechianu, it's a certain chashivas, I wouldn't be allowed to do it during the 3 weeks. That's what Rav Moshe Feinstein supposedly told Rabbi Tenma. So someone was telling me today that he asked my Rebbe of Kalman Epstein, he didn't think that's the way it looks. He thought the way it is, the way we're saying it now, that it's talin da amir to shechianu. So if you're not saying shechianu, it's not a problem. And he told this fellow he can buy his sitz for after Tisha B'Av. And I told this fellow he can buy his talis for after the chasen as well. I thought that's the way it goes. It doesn't go about whether or not it's the simcha, because according to everything we're saying now, it's really a din in the amiras shechianu. So if I'm not making the amiras to shechianu, it shouldn't be a problem. So that's what should come out. If you're going to buy something today and not wear it till after the 3 weeks, it shouldn't be a problem. Or if you're going to wear on Shabbos, then for sure it wouldn't be a problem. Now, Rabbi Ephraim Greenblatt writes in Rivlis Ephraim number 11 that he heard from Hashem a certain gadol that today a talis gadol is not a problem at all because it's ene choshev. He thinks that talis gadol is not as choshev as Rabbi Moshe makes it out to be. But as a good Talmud that Rabbi Ephraim Greenblatt was, he writes, "Amdam ledaiti yesh lahachme kodiv yagay Moshe Feinstein shliti." He said, "What am I going to do? My Rebbe writes in a letter to me that not like that." So he, out of respect, and all the later achrenim all write this psak from Rabbi Moshe that a talis gadol today is deemed a beged choshev and therefore requires a shechianu. So if you talk and make a bracha on it, you know, the problem is a lot of chassam and they get married, they don't realize they're supposed to make a shechianu on the talis gadol. They forget about the shechianu. It really should be made. But it seems to be that this is the accepted opinion that we do make a shechianu on the talis gadol. And therefore, according to Rav Moshe, if you're going to wear a talis gadol tomorrow, you're going to run into a problem. So in that case, you should wear it on Shabbos.
The chassam, is it the talis, or is the fact that he's putting on the talis for the first time?
No, the shechianu is pashtus on the beged itself. There's a discussion about putting on tefillin for the first time. That's a big discussion that they talk about. Let's say someone puts on tefillin for the first time. So does he make a shechianu? That's a whole discussion in Achrayim. And he says, let's say he would do it this week. That's also a discussion. So many of the Achrayim suggest that he shouldn't, because since the whole shechianu on the first time tefillin is not so well sourced, it's better not to do it during the 3 weeks. But pashtus is on the beged, the new beged that he's wearing, that he's being maluvish for the first time. Now, in that same tshuva from Ramesh, he talks about buying a new car. If anyone wants to go and buy a new car during the 3 weeks, or Ramesh writes, it depends what type of car it is. Ramesh writes, in number 13, Umuchunis Chadasha, if you're buying a new car, Im Hulatanug, if it's just for enjoyment, buying a sports car, just for fun. You have to say shechianu on a sports car. So Dr. Maisha, that's out. What happens if you're not going to say shechianu? You're going to make a toiva ametiv. Right? That was the story now in the lottery. The lady in Eretz Yisrael won the lottery, and she made a toiva ametiv. Are you allowed to make a toiva ametiv during the 3 weeks? You're not allowed to say shechianu during the 3 weeks. Why are you allowed to say a toiva ametiv? So the Shari Tshuva writes, you're allowed to say a toiva ametiv during the 3 weeks. Now, Rav Moshe says that mefurish in the tshuva, he doesn't speak it out, but he writes, the imu ba'ifin shemavarech ha'tayv ha'meitiv kigoyin sheesh le'ish u'bonim, the gam heim nanim zeh, it's also mirish chaydish. That would only be also from mirish chaydish, because that would be considered binyan shel simcha. But Dr. Moshe, ha'tayv ha'meitiv, you can make during the 3 weeks. So that lady who won the lottery, she's okay to make ha'tayv ha'meitiv. So Dr. Moshe, if you buy a new car during the 3 weeks, that's for the family. So you're not only you are deriving pleasure, but the kids and the wife and everyone's deriving pleasure, so then you'd make ha'tayv ha'meitiv, and ha'tayv ha'meitiv is not a problem during the 3 weeks. However, says Rav Moshe, what happens if you're buying the car for business purposes? Which is probably why most of us buy a car, is to get from point A to point B. So Rav Moshe, v'imu mechunis leparnosa, k'may truck, okay, that's an extreme case, v'gam mechunis k'tana efshe gam k'imshu leparnosa, says Rav Moshe, rak b'dim ma'at, b'ma'asa b'ma'atin, which is okay. But he writes something very interesting at the end. He says, u'mitzad shechianu, yivarech achar Tisha B'Av. Say the shechianu after Tisha B'Av. Why? Ki b'shvil ze eno lov levaltim imalachta. Rav Moshe says, what's the opposite over here? He's not going to buy a car. He's not going to work for 3 weeks. It's not going to work. He's got to get to work. So Rav Moshe says, let him buy the car now and make the shechianu after Tisha B'Av. Which, yeah, Pasha says it loses the excitement. Right? Someone told me. It loses the new car smell. How can you make a shechianu in a new car, right? So that's very negated to what I want to talk about, number 12. There's a halacha that many people are unaware of, that when parents have a baby for the first time, so if they have a baby boy, both dad and mom are supposed to recite the bracha HaTov HaMeitiv. There's a beralacha that said maybe even the grandparents should recite a toiv ha'meitiv, okay? But if it's a baby girl, they should recite a shechianu. This is a halacha that's usually forgotten on people. And Rabbi Yaakov writes, you know why? Because you know how many things are going on when you have that baby and you're nervous about this and worried. The last thing you remember about is making brachas. I always remind the couples when we go through halachas of what to expect before you have a baby, I always throw this in. It's a birchas rishos, it's not a birchas achiyav, but Lamai said it should be recited. Right, as soon as, again, so for the husband, it's much easier. For the wife, she should try to clean herself up a little bit and get herself into a better position. So the shayla in the achronim is, how long do you have to make the bracha? Let's say the Shachianu, how long? So Moshe Shtemach has a tshuva, if it's still, the simcha is still fresh. So the way I like to be magdirate is, if you're still telling people that same excitement, you know, like it's 3 weeks later, a guy meets you and says, oh, by the way, I had a baby. It's not the same. Within the first couple of days, it has that excitement.
It's hard to recover, at least for the boys, they make the Shachianu by the breast.
Right. So this is not such a popular halacha, but people don't know about it, but it's the right thing to do. So the Gavriel writes, let's say someone has a baby girl now. So he should make the Shachianu. Why? Because the same thing about the food. If you don't make it now, you're going to lose it. And it's not worth losing it. So if a person has a baby now, between now and Tisha B'Av, you should recite the bracha of Shachianu. Based on what we're saying till now, there would be nothing wrong with making purchases of things that don't require a Shachianu. You want to buy a new pair of shoes. There's no Shachianu or new pair of shoes for most of us. You want to buy a belt, you want to buy a tie, you want to buy a shirt. All those things which l'kuli alma don't have a Shachianu, there'd be no problem. Based on what we're seeing now, there's nothing wrong with the purchasing issue. That's a Rosh Chodesh of problem. The whole problem is the recital of Shachianu. So if you don't recite Shachianu, you won't have a problem. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah writes clearly in number 14. The Mishnah Berurah writes, ubigodim she'ein chashuvim kol kach, the godim that are not that important, she'ein tzarech levarach alav Shachianu, kiyay mina olim chadashim, new shoes, ukiyay tzibizeh. Which again, it might be subjective. Everyone might be different. For some people, a new suit is something they do every other week. For some people, something they do twice a year. So it might be subjective how often you make a Shachianu. But there are certain things I think, you know, people make Shachianus on. Says the Mishnah Berurah, if it's something you don't make a Shachianu, b'vadai mutar l'knoisei l'lov shem yitzayim b'tamas ad Rosh Chodesh. There's no problem. Buy it, wear it up till Rosh Chodesh. So if you want to go shopping this whole week till next Friday, buy whatever you want as long as you don't make a Shachianu on it. If you're going to buy a very fancy watch, so maybe you would make a Shachianu on it. As long as the purchases don't require a Shachianu. However, the Mishnah Sharetzion writes a very interesting Eliyahu Rabbah. The Eliyahu Rabbah writes, he writes in the bottom, Nama Memches, Ube Rabbah, B'Shem Adana Yomtif, Mitzadid Lachachmer, Mishum Shei Simcha Gedoyla. The Eliyahu Rabbah says, no, I don't think so. I think that even starting from the 3 weeks, you shouldn't make big purchases because of Simcha Gedoyla. Where does it say that that's also? Who says you can't have Simcha Gedoyla during the 3 weeks? You can't listen to, you can't take the spiris and you can't make chas. It's fine, so I can't do that. Where does it say I can't make purchases? This is somewhat made up by the Eliyahu Rabbah. And the Mishnah Berurah goes on to attack him. He says, Ochein achai odem hati kedasa magen avrom. The chai odem goes with the magen avrom. Ube emes, says the Mishnah Berurah, any day at tam Eliyahu Rabbah. I don't even understand the Eliyahu Rabbah. The begemara leniska ki mishenichtas avimatim besimcha. V'loi kaidem. Who told the Eliyahu Rabbah we have to start becoming sad earlier than we have to? It says, Mishin Nichlas Av. Good, so up to Lava, I can do whatever I want. So who told Eliyahu Rabbah this din of Miyot Mishum Simcha Gedoyla? Who told Eliyahu Rabbah there's a problem called Simcha Gedoyla? So there are those who tie it back on the Mishnah Berurah. What do you mean? We see that there is such a concept. You know what I mean? Chasen does now. There is certain things that we do take. So the answer to that is right. So if Chazal asked certain things clearly for whatever the reason is, so that's what's also. Don't add on things because, you know, someone's telling me today, but it's not in the spirit. I don't know. To me, when you start with that game, it gets very, very blurred the lines. Well, it's not as great. Well, you know, 20 years down the road, someone might make a new din. You're not allowed to use your iPhone during the 3 weeks. It's not in the spirit. But it's not brought down anywhere, so we have to be very honest with the literature. So if the Eliyahu Rabbah is right, he says what he says, but Mr. Bruce says, come on, you got to prove it. But what I did find is, it's not the Eliyahu Rabbah's chiddush. It's really a Maril. If you look at number 15, the Maril writes this. The Maril was discussing a shayla, can you be mitzair? Can you paint the walls? Fix up the house? So they asked the Maril, can you do the house construction, fixing up the walls, painting the house, can you do during the 3 weeks? So Maril said, Loi nochel netzayir kol ben amitzarim. It's not proper. He doesn't say osir. Loi nochel. It's not proper to be mitzayir, not with an ayin, with two yuds, to fix up the walls, to paint the house during ben amitzarim. But for hoyel the katzima, he's talking about, let's say you hired a worker, you hired a guy to paint the house. And he knocks on the door the day after Shavuos and Batam. He says, I'm ready to paint the house. You hired him to come 2 weeks ago, and he's here now. So Maril says, you know what? If you can really push him off. Tell him to come, you know, come after the holidays, come 3 weeks later. He says, if you can't, if you can give him a little bit of money and get him to come later, tov el abrach. So what do you see from this Maril? You see from Maril, there is this concept that even starting from the beginning of the 3 weeks, there is an Indian of being mimayit in those things that are enjoyable. Which is mamish the Maril l'shitasai. Like the Maril said earlier, k'dei l'mayit b'simcha. The Maril l'shitasai is very move on. That there is such a concept that even things that are not fit into the 9 days would already be also starting from the 3 weeks. However, this Eliyahu Rabbah / Maril is not brought down by the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah leaves it out. Mishnah Berurah uses this Maril when he's talking about the 9 days. during the 9 days, if you hire the painter and the painter shows up, you tell him, listen, do me a favor, come back after the 9 days. But never does Mishnah Berurah bring it down with regard to the 3 weeks. However, the Aruch HaShulchan does. Number 16, the Aruch HaShulchan writes, Omnam, anachnu moinim atzmeinu meluvish beged chodosh choshev miyudzayim betamaz vafilu b'shabbos. We already adapted, says the Aruch HaShulchan, we will not wear a new choshev beged already from Shabbos b'tamaz. Really? You, the Aruch HaShulchan, told me you can say Shechiyun up till Rosh Chodesh, but you won't wear a new beged. So clearly he's drawing that there's a difference between the Shechiyanu and the Simcha Gedolah. So Aruch HaShulchan accepts this opinion of the Eliyahu Rabbah. Pashtus Eliyahu Rabbah is not accepted la halacha, so it would not be a problem to make big purchases as long as they don't carry long a Shechiyanu. And that was the opinion of Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach and Sefer Halicha Shleima. Shlomo Zalman writes number 17, Ha'isr Kelim u'begadim chadashim b'mei ben ha'mitzarim. The prohibition with new things during the 3 weeks, Ad v'shchei deshav, einoy ella al hashimush behem, it's if you're going to use them, there's nothing wrong with buying them. There's no major simcha out of the purchase. The problem with the purchase is the Shechiyanu. So if there would be no Shechiyanu, it would be no problem. What I find interesting, if you look at some of the more contemporary Sforim, they take this Eliyahu Rabbah and they run with it. And they get all major halachas based on this Eliyahu Rabbah, which I don't understand, because as we proved earlier, the Mishnah Berurah rejected the Eliyahu Rabbah. Right, but Pashtus is no problem. We didn't see anywhere besides for the Eliyahu Rabbah according to the Maril. There's nothing wrong with that. That was the Mishnah Berurah's taina. Where does it say you can't have simcha during the 3 weeks? So, in the Sefer Kavetz Halach, is written by a Talmud of Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky, he writes like this, number 18. Einoy nochin. Again, another politically correct choice of words. Einoy nochin. It's not proper. It's not right to paint your house during the 3 weeks. Because there's a lot of simcha. Who said you can't have simcha during the 3 weeks? I don't get it. Who said you're not allowed to have simcha? You're not allowed to enjoy? You're not allowed to play? Right. Now it's just a mess. I'm saying you're not allowed to play basketball during the 3 weeks? This is where it gets very blurred. I know it's not in the spirit. I understand that. But where do we draw the line? So again, he'll draw the line from the Maril. I get it. I understand, respectfully. But Pashas and Mr. Brewer asked on this Maril on Eliyahu Rabbah, and he disagreed. Then he goes further. He says, let's say Misha Kana Dir Chadosha. Let's say you buy a new house. So he says you shouldn't move into the new house during the 3 weeks. He writes on the footnote of it, he says, Ravadis, you don't make a Shechiyanu when you buy a house. That's when you go into debt. Hinani Muchram Zuman to go into debt when you buy a house. You don't say Shechiyanu then. So I said, what's the problem about buying a new house? It's again this new Simcha Svara, which again, I don't understand. I understand where they're getting it from, but I don't think that's Niskabel Halach. He writes, Omnam Hain Rak Bedira Knuyla. You can only not move into your own house. Avaldira Sechura. But you want to move into a rental property, and there's no such great simcha in rental. You don't own anything. There's no great simcha. That's not a problem. They bring down a number 19 just to show you how far people took it. In the Archas Rabbeinu, they say over the story that the wife of the, that they say about the Chazanish, that he was looking for a new apartment. Now, can you imagine if the Chazanish was looking for a new apartment, that means there's something really wrong with his first one. It wasn't because he didn't have a good view of, what was going on outside. It was a severe problem. And he writes that the Chazanish would not go apartment hunting during the 3 weeks. That's a madrigal. Forget it, he wouldn't move in. He's going apartment hunting. Chazish wouldn't even go apartment hunting during the 3 weeks. Okay. Right, that's a madrigal. But Pashtus, I don't see that there's anything wrong with it. It shouldn't be a problem. Now, based on a lot of this is where some people get this idea that there are restrictions put on during the 3 weeks. Now, if we go back to the Shulchan Aruch, it's mochach that the halacha that we read was not about avelus. Because look at halacha Yud Ches, and you have to read these two halachas together. You shouldn't go walk alone during the 3 weeks. So everyone have a walking partner. No one's allowed to walk by themselves during the 3 weeks. From 4 hours of the day into 9 hours of the day. Why? Ketiv Miriri Sherit. Ketiv Miriri, the Gemara says, Imsachim are Shadim. So be careful, there are Shadim out there. It's not the Pokemon Go, it's the Shadim we're worried about. Keep an eye on them. Even though they're Behalacha quotes, if you look in the Gemara, it sounds like the Gemara, they come out already on the first day of Tammuz. But they're not as strong as they are on Shavasa B'Tamas. Don't hit your students during these days. Is that dinner of those not allowed to hit his Talmidim? What's this halacha? Very strange halacha. It comes from a medrash and Eicha. What's the pshat? So again, this halacha is connected to the halacha before. That there are certain things that we don't do during the 3 weeks, not because it's avelus. Like the Goyim pointed out, there's no avelus now. It's a bad omen, it's a bad time. It's not the right time to do things. So normally you hit your kid, you hit your Talmud, nothing happened. But because we're holding down this very bad Zman Peronius, like the Magen Avraham quoted, every little thing could make it worse. So we try to stay extra clear of things that could be potentially dangerous. So based on this, If you look at number 20, the Chavos Ya'ir. Chavos Ya'ir came much later. It was already the 1700s. The Chavos Ya'ir writes number 20, Re'isi nimnoi melirchatz bin haris. I saw people that wouldn't go in the river. They wouldn't go in the oceans. Bipnei ha-sakana v'ha'es misugo l'ra. This is just a bad time in history. This is just, sadly enough, you read the Jewish news, you go back every year, you'll see there's always, sadly, something happens, it's negative in our history during the 3 weeks. Not only 9 days, Tisha B'Av, but they read it in the 3 weeks. So many people based this on this Chavos Ya'ir. They were asked to swim in during the 3 weeks. Said, you're not allowed to go swimming during the 3 weeks. Shem Ezam and Orbach writes in number 21, Mutal lechatz b'yayim ha-b'richa b'mein ha-b'tzarim. Gedolei Achrayim did not follow this restriction. They felt there's absolutely nothing wrong with going swimming during the 3 weeks. They quote B'shem Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rabbi Felder, in his Sefer, writes B'shem Rav Moshe, but you shouldn't go into the deep water for the first time during the 3 weeks. That's what Rav Moshe said. Hey, funny thing. Rabbi Ephraim Grimat has a tshuva where he writes that someone told him that you should only go swimming during the 3 weeks if you went swimming there 3 times before. So you got used to the water, you know the curves, you know the turns, and then you can go. So Rabbi Ephraim Grimat writes back, with all respect, who made this up? You can only go if you went 3 times before. What is this all about? The answer is don't do things that are overly dangerous, even during the 3 weeks, because of this idea that there's a bad mazel already starting now. Yeah.
What about like a new experience, though? Is that a part of that, or
it's
just that?
It's dangerous. These are things that are dangerous. New things are okay as long as they're not dangerous. I don't know if I would suggest going bungee jumping during the 3 weeks. Now, I can't tell you it's awesome. But you have this Chavos Ya'ir that many people are very makbid on. Now, it's interesting. It says you're not supposed to hit your Talmidim. So the Achrayim point that to your kids also. It's not only your Talmidim. So you should also try not. So that's why in the summer they're very makel not to have too much learning. Because they're afraid if you have your kids in school during the summer, you're going to end up hitting them. So the best bet is let's send them to camp. We'll have a short learning program. There's a good no chance of hitting the Talmidim. But just very quickly, if you look in number 23, if you look in the Marsham, he quotes from the Daz Zakenim, he quotes from the Bechacher, who says that that's only Bechedesh Ein by Mezuzah. The whole prohibition is if you're going to hit your Talmud if the room has no Mezuzah. Then you can hit your kids. We're not here to advocate for hitting one's children or Talmidim, but he writes over here that if the room that you're going to hit the kid has a mezuzah, that's not a problem. Okay, Zayzok, the Bechacha. So, Akoponim, we'll definitely see, if you read those two halachas together, you definitely see that the theme of these halachas are not so much avelus, but they're more based on this premise that it's a zman, it's just not a zman mesugol. If you go to the next side, we'll see that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky took this a step further. And Rabbi Yaakov said, based on this, Yesh lahakbid shloi l'kvoye nituchim misochichin limei bein ha-mitzarim. If a person has a choice, went to have an elective surgery, he doesn't need to have it now, it's not an emergency surgery. Rabbi Yaakov held it's better to push it off and not have it during the 3 weeks. Why? Because again, the same idea that the Chavos Ya'ir told us, that it's just not a good time. So if a person could push off a surgery, it would be better. Rav Moshe Feinstein held not like that. Rav Moshe held that's not the pshat. And Moshe said surgeries are okay during the 3 weeks. And he said, because where would everyone get this from? The same way, you're not supposed to hit your Talmud because a nice patch can end up being more severe. So a basic surgery can end up being who knows what. So Dr. Moshe, yeah, that's because when you're hitting your Talmud, your intent is to cause pain. When you're getting a surgery, the intent is l'tevasai. The purpose is for your benefits. So Dr. Moshe, it's not a good sushtal. So Moshe held, you could have elective surgeries during the 3 weeks. While Rabbi Yaakov held, it would be better not to have elective surgery during the 3 weeks. They bring that from the stipler, that the stipler was very machmir, that during the 3 weeks he told people not to go swimming in the ocean during the 3 weeks. But again, it's over here. But as we mentioned last time, pashtus, this is not a problem. There would be nothing wrong with going swimming as long as, again, don't do anything. A person should never do things that are dangerous, right? We always have to guard ourselves. But pashtus, the prohibition of swimming only starts after the 9 days. Okay. Let's talk about another popular halacha that comes up during the 9 days. And we're going to talk about the prohibition of music. That's a big one. Everyone loves to listen to music. So is there a problem of listening to music? I strongly believe that if Chazal would see the technology we have today, they would have never asked music. Back then, music was a big deal. Wasn't everyone could have access to music? You had to go to play. You had to have an event. Everyone had to get together and everyone had to dance and play music. Today, we can just turn on the music. It's much easier. There's, in my humble opinion, I can't prove it. I don't think they would have answered it. It's one of those things that would just been exerish hatzibra yochalamid, but it would be too hard. But nonetheless, so where does the prohibition come from listening to music during the 3 weeks? So it doesn't write anywhere music. The Magen Avraham writes in 27, "V'nirli the aser lasish rikudim u'machalois mirdzayim betamis." The prohibition is upon dancing. If we all decide here just to break down and have a dance, and there's no music, not even a cappella music, no music, that would be also Zakat Magramam. The act of dancing is what's also during the 3 weeks. It's not so much the music, it's the dance. So the question then is, okay, so where do we get from that? So I'll listen to my house, and I won't dance. I'll sit on my bed. I won't do any dancing. So where did it come from? So Shem Zalman writes in number 28, Ein Echanami. Hashira shenoygim ba'isa b'mei ha'vim tzarim ein elam esog hashira ha'mo'irim l'rikud. Rav Shlomo Zalman understood this Magen Avraham that you're right. The prohibition is dancing. So music that motivates you to want to dance or to get up and dance even though you're not going to, that was the yisayda isser. But music that's not going to motivate you to dance, Rav Shlomo Zalman felt wasn't a problem. And this is what he held by svira as well. When we talked about svira, we mentioned the same svara, that the yisayda dover is there's a connection to the dancing. So if it's not going to be mo'irim l'rikud, then it's not a problem. However, in the footnote number 21, he writes that even though he really believes that's the case, he writes, I think, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, it's better even those musics that will not get you to dance. It's worth it to push yourself for a couple of weeks for the Churban Beis HaMikdash. That's one thought process of why music is also during the 3 weeks. The other thought process is B'Shem Rav Moshe and others, is that you're right, it doesn't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch you can't listen to music. But really, the whole year we shouldn't be listening to music. But we come up with kulas and hatayim, so for 3 weeks a year, we push ourselves and we don't use any coolers. It's interesting, in number 30, in one of these more contemporary svarim, they write that Reb Shlomo Zalman's son, Reb Azriel Orbach, Taka followed his father's opinion, and he Taka was matir, listening to music that will not bring you to Riku. If you want to listen to slow music, Dveikus type music, Regesh, these types of songs that are not going to get you to dance, slow, nice, enjoyable music, Reb Azriel Orbach held its mutter. Because he was going in line with his father's rule, and that his father held the prohibition is connected to dancing. But he quotes that Reb Chaim Kanevsky disagreed, Don Biyashi disagreed, because they're coming from a whole different process. They're coming that the prohibition is not because of this Magen Avraham, they held the prohibition is somewhat self-afflicted. They were saying that, oh yeah, we shouldn't do it, so at least for 3 weeks we should try to be mach. So then all the shayles come up, with the acapella, no acapella, all the different shayles. But these are basically the two reasons why we don't listen to music. It's either because we shouldn't listen a whole year, but we're makel, 3 weeks we're machmir, or it has to do with the rikir u'mochalas. Just to mention, it's kedai that people should be aware that if a person is listening to music, not for the enjoyment of the music, but to either take his mind off of something, to keep him awake, to keep him focused on what he needs to do, in that case there wouldn't be this prohibition, because you're not enjoying the music. You're doing it so you don't fall asleep at the road, or you're doing it because you can't focus, whatever the reason may be. Or they talk about tshuvas, people have music going because they're afraid, they're by themselves, and they're scared. So they don't want to be alone, so they put the music on to companionship. So that's also mutter, you're not doing it for the enjoyment of the music. There's a whole discussion in the Pais Kamon about little kids. I have this door fight with my daughter. She's 7 and my son is 3. So she tried explaining him today that there's a thing called the 3 weeks. And he's not allowed to listen to music, only certain music. That didn't really go over very well. So we have to put on the CD. So it's a pashas for a kid who's shalei gil l'chinuch. Don't make them crazy. Let them listen to whatever they want. What about a kid who's a gil l'chinuch? A kid who's 7 or 8, so Ramesh has a tshuva. For a kid who's a gil l'chinuch, 7 or 8, we try to be mechanech them in certain things. Now for some kids not listening to the music, they'll go crazy. They'll climb the walls. They're not doing it for the simcha. They're doing it because that's what they do in the car. That's what they do at home. I think in those cases, the kids at that age, I think there's more could be make. I wouldn't make such a big deal about it and let them listen to the music. Nah, it doesn't make a difference. The side of the music, whatever the music is, it shouldn't make a difference. So Akoponim, that's all the discussion with the music and the dancing. There's a whole discussion in Achrayim. If, let's say, for example, you're going to go to a Sheva Brachas this week, are you allowed to have music and dancing at the Sheva Brachas? Or let's say you'll go be invited to a Svarda Shechasana this week. What are you allowed to partake in? I was just invited last night to a Svarda Sheva Brachas. I don't know. I didn't go. I'm curious what goes on there. So are you allowed to dance? Are you allowed to sing? What are you allowed to do? So we mentioned very quickly last week that Pashtus, you'd be allowed to go to the wedding, partake in the wedding, dance and enjoy the wedding, doimet a svira. Just like when you have two separate spheres, Rav Moshe writes in the tshuva that you're allowed to go and partake in someone else's svira. However, Shmuel Kamenetsky disagrees. He thinks that's not true. He thinks you're allowed to show up to the chasana, eat the food, stay in the hall when there's dancing, but you're not allowed to actively dance. So Rabbi Forsheimer tainted on him, what's the difference? If you're allowed to go to the chasana by svira, why can't you go now? So he tainted back to him, he says, no. He said, because he thinks that the 3 weeks is more chomer than svira. I don't know why. Pashtus, the 3 weeks is only a minute. It's not really Mekir Adin. So many other Achrenim disagree. And they say, if you're invited to a Svarda Shechasana tomorrow night, you go to the Chasana, you dance, you enjoy, and you have a good time. What happens if you're going to go to Ashkenazi Sheva Brachas this week? So are you allowed to have music? What about dancing? So the consensus of the Achrenim is based on Rav Moshe Feinstein and others, is that you're allowed to dance, but no music. And you're allowed to get up after the meal and have a little rakida around the table, whatever, but there shouldn't be live music. That was the opinion of Rav Moshe Feinstein. That's also the opinion of Rav Moshe Sternberg, quoted in Ma'ariv Muzman. But these are some of the creative shailas that come up if a person makes a chasid before the start of the 3 weeks. Let's talk about shaving and haircuts. That's definitely on a lot of people's mind. What about taking haircuts and shaving during the 3 weeks? So we mentioned already that this is a machlokes mechaben Ramah. Ashkenazim are not allowed to, and Sfaradim are allowed. So if you look in number 31 in Shu'ei Rav, Salveitcher quotes over here, they call it B'Shem of Soloveitchik, this idea, and this is quoted in many places in B'Shem of Soloveitchik, that the idea of the 3 weeks, 9 days, is the backwards of regular Avelos. And he explains like this. Sheminoga Avelos Miyudzayim Betamuz Hu B'chinas Avelos Sheyud Beis Chodesh. What we call the 3 weeks has the same status of 12 months Avelos over a parent. U'B'Shvu Shechal B'Tisha B'Av, that's like Shloishim. And Tisha B'Av itself, that's considered Shiva. This was of Soloveitchik's idea. Now, Rav Shechter, in his Sefer Ikve HaTzayin, if you look very quickly, number 32, he brings a beautiful riot to this from a Taz in Shulchan Aruch. There's the whole discussion, the Paiskim, can you cut the nails during the 9 days? So, for halachic purposes, you're definitely allowed to cut your nails during the 3 weeks. That's not a question. The Taz says you can't cut your nails after Rosh Chodesh. That's the Taz's opinion. So, Rav Shechter says, what's Pshat in the Taz? So, he writes the number 32. He thinks the Taz is a riot to what Rav Soloveitchik said. Why? Because after Rosh Chodesh, what's the status of the Avelos? The Avelos of Rosh Chodesh is like the Avelos of Shloshim. And that Taka and Ovel doesn't do. And Ovel doesn't cut his nails. So, that's Pshat in the Taz, why he's not allowed to do it. So Rav Shechter thinks that this Taz is a riot to Rav Soloveitchik's concern. In the footnote in Shuvi Rav, they quote B'Shem Rabbi Wolig. The Rabbi Wolig thinks there's a riot to this from a Ramban. In Taras Adam, he found the Ramban that's a riot to Rav Soloveitchik's concern, how the Avelos of the 3 weeks corresponds to the Avelos of a real Ovel. But based on this comparison, says Rav Soloveitchik, Lefiz Nira, Shemisha Darka, this Kalech B'chol Yoim, if someone shaves frequently, Motol this Kalech, Gam Yitzayim B'tamas, Ad Rosh Chodesh Av, then he'd be allowed to shave without any problem up till Rosh Chodesh Av. Why, says Rav Soloveitchik, to hoil the Avelos Benazesh Shav Avelos Shemit Chodesh, because based on his analogy, that the status of the 3 weeks is equivalent to the status of 12 months, Ubi Yubes Chodesh Kvanog, Oilam Kadasa, Poiskim Asavim Shav Avelos Kalech B'chol Yoim, Magia L'Sher Ga'aro, and then he's allowed to shave. Therefore, says Rav Soloveitchik, so everyone who shaves frequently would be allowed to shave when? Only up till Rosh Chodesh Av. However, from Rosh Chodesh and onwards, then there's no heter, because then it becomes like Shloshim, we don't find this heter. So Soloveitchik is a kula and a chumra at the same time. It's a kula on one end that it says that anyone who shaves frequently can shave up to Rosh Chodesh Av. But it's a chumra because starting next Friday, then no one can shave even if you frequently shave. Rav Moshe Feinstein has two other tshuvas where he's slightly different than Rav Soloveitchik's opinion. Rav Moshe Feinstein, if you look very quickly, number 34, he writes, "Ubedavar legalech ben amitzar mishul habaydasa." Someone needs to shave because of business. Hine, im eini yochalei lech labaydasa kisheinu megulach. If he can't go to work when he's not shaving properly, rashay legalech de shalei yafsid. He's allowed to shave, so he shouldn't lose business. Vim hurak mishul sheli genu olav. But Dr. Moshe, if it's not an issue of money, it's an issue of embarrassing. You look, you feel uncomfortable, people are looking at you, you won't lose any business. It's not a money issue. It's an uncomfortability issue. So Dr. Moshe, then there's no heter. Ava lo yiloy hefsin mamon? Awesome. So Moshe was very clear. It's got to be about losing money. But Dr. Moshe, the next tshuva, number 35, what happens if it is an issue of losing money? Dr. Moshe, he named Echel Oisik Beze Mischa Lemalacha. Shem lo yistap ezikne bimea sviro biyom shabin yizayim betamba the tishbav. Yeh lo yhefsin mamon. He'll take a lose out. Now let's just clarify what this means. This means not necessarily that they'll decrease your salary, but it means you'll have a hefsid that you might not grow later on in the business. Let's say a deal comes down later, they're not giving it to you because you're the guy who doesn't know how to shave when he comes to work. This is a similar idea we find by Cholamayit. When we talk about Cholamayit, losing money Cholamayit doesn't mean you're going to lose that day's work. That's Chazal knew that. If you don't go to work that day, you're not going to get paid. It means there's going to be a long-term effect, which means the next time a big something comes down the road, they're not giving it to you because you're the guy who took off two weeks for Jewish reasons. Or it means the next time they're thinking about who they're going to give more business to, they say, we're not giving to the Jewish guy because he bails out twice a year for a week. That's what it means, have some up. So if you have Maisha, then it's mutter. When? Up till Shavuot Shechalbay. So here, Moshe is more maker than Rav Soloveitchik. Moshe says you can shave up till Shavuot Shechalbay. But Shavuot Shechalbay, then there's no heter. So the difference between Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Moshe is whether or not you have a heter from Rosh Chodesh until Shavuot Shechalbay, which can make somewhat of a difference. So this is the two different opinions when it comes to shaving. This year there's a Shiloh when Shavuot Shechalbay is, right. That's a machloikis, two shittas in Shulchan Aruch. But Limeda will talk about it. Actually, I'd like to schedule it for a Sunday share when we'll get into the lumdus of understanding Shavuot Shechalbay and understanding Tanis Nitzcha, especially Tishba. But Limeda will get to that in a little bit. What else is included in the prohibition of shaving? So the Mishnah writes that men and women also have the same prohibition of shaving. Women also are not allowed to cut their hair during the 3 weeks. However, Reb Shlomo Zalman held that a lady wants to... if he wants to, let's say, her eyebrows, all that is not included. Rav Moshe held women can shave their legs, and all that is not included. Whereas a lady wants to cut her sheitel. Wants to cut her sheitel. She's not cutting her, she's cutting her sheitel. So the Nitta Gavila brings down, that's not a problem. It's not here. It's not a problem. That's like, he says, you can't do it from Rosh Chodesh on, but it's not an Isser of Tesperis. So there's those things that a Tesperis would be mut. And then the other question is, what about Tesperis L'Kavod Shabbos? It would seem that we should all be allowed to shave L'Kavod Shabbos. How can it be that based on a minhag, we're all going to come into Shabbos Menuvel, and it's not going to look proper? So if you look at number 36, the Mishtabura quotes a Magen Avram. The Magen Avram says, Avol b'tespayris aser afilu l'kvayt Shabbos. Tespayris is aser even for Shabbos. De'belav achi ein v'gilim l'saper b'chol shvur. Because as it is, we don't take haircuts that often. So the first thing that should pop out is, well today we do. Mitzvah has changed. Today we have shavers and we do things much more frequently than they used to do back then. So then one would think that this should change. But even before we get to that, if you look at number 37, the Kaf HaChaim brings down from the Eish al Avram, that he says we're misunderstanding this line in the Magen Avram. When the Magen Avram said there's no hetter for Kavod Shabbos, when was he talking about? Was he talking about for us Ashkenazim Jews after the 3 weeks, or was he talking about after Rosh Chodesh Av? He writes in number 37, that didn't mean starting from the 3 weeks, that meant from Rosh Chodesh and on. If you want to take a haircut next Friday, the Chavit Shabbos, then there's no head to Zok the Magen Avram because it's ready after the 9 days. Ratzaloyma, lefi haminik shekasev b'hagob b'sif sha'ach hazeh, shenoyim l'hachim b'tisweish mizayim b'tamaz l'chavit Shabbos, shari ad Rosh Chodesh. Mikan ve'elach asa afilu Kavod Shabbos. The Magen Avram wasn't saying it's asa for Kavod Shabbos for the 3 weeks. He was saying it's asa after the 9 days to take a haircut for Shabbos, which means this Shabbos, which is before the 9 days, says the Eish al Avram, Kaf HaChaim quotes it, we would be allowed to take a haircut for Kavod Shabbos even according to the Magen Avram. That's a big deal. However, he quotes Miu Amati Yer. Mati Yehuda b'dindal kasa d'machmir b'tesves mizayim b'tamas gam Shabbos b'chal hachumra. He says no. That's not how to learn the Magen Avram. So there's machlokes achronim how to learn this Magen Avram, and it makes a world of a difference. If you learn the Magen Avram meant that we're not allowed to take the Kavod Shabbos only after the 9 days, so this Shabbos we would be allowed to take a haircut. So if you look in the Chassam Sofer has a tshuva in Yerodeya, where he says we stamazim missed this whole Magen Avram. How do we miss the Magen Avram? Because the Magen Avram was talking about haircuts. The Magen Avram wasn't talking about beard shaving. Zog the Chassam Sofer, he says, the Balavach he nearly ikar da Magen Avram l'chal ha'poiskim loy mari rak b'tespayus ha'roish. This whole Magen Avram was talking about getting a haircut. Avol b'tespayus ha'zokin ha'noyig achshav u'mitzayir harbi u'menuvel oysam ma'oid. But to go without shaving? Mizel loy dibru v'loy ola alibam. That the Magen Avram was never addressing. That was never a sign of the Magen Avram. The whole Magen Avram was talking about haircuts. So we have a couple of heterim based on this Magen Avram. Heter number one is if you learn the Magen Avram was talking about after the 9 days, so then it's for sure mutter. If you assume like the Chassam Sofer that the Magen Avram was only talking about haircuts and not shaving, then it's for sure mutter. And the third option would be is what we see in number four. In number 40 is that if you read the words of the Magen Avram, what are the words of the Magen Avram? But today we are regil masapeh b'chol shvuah. So since today we are regil masapeh b'chol shvuah, even according to the Magen Avram, it should be mutter. If you look at number 40, in the Sefer Kol HaMesabel, he quotes in the Sefer Evin Yisrael, Shalfi HaTam She'en Regil Mesabim B'chol Shvuah Nire, the Oysem HaNoshem HaMesabim Zganim Kam Upon B'Shvuah, those who talk a shave frequently, Mutarim Nistapim Miyayim Chamishi L'Chavet Shabbos. Elo Shalai Nagu Kain. I think we all agree, go out, Puk Chazim HaOmad Dera, people don't do it. Ava Babris, you could be making. But that's the argument one can make. If one is trying to figure out, is there this heter to shave for Shabbos? It's dependent upon a couple of factors. How do you get around this Magen Avram? How do you read the Magen Avram? If you read the Magen Avram like the Kaf HaChaim, then it's not a problem. Secondly, if you accept the Chassam Sofer, then it's not a problem. Thirdly, if you accept like the Evin Yisrael that the Matzias changed, and I think that's pretty agreeable, then it's not a problem. Now, if you look, I just want to wrap up with this. If you look in number 39 from the Sefer Hilchas Chag B'Chag, he writes like this: "V'nira sheish lismech tfei ala prima gadim b'zeh." He thinks we should be using this prima gadim, which the Kaf HaChaim quoted, to who yodea hatev mir Ashkenazim b'rama, that the prima gadim knew better. The prima gadim knew well. If the prima gadim said that this Magen Avram was talking about only after the 9 days, you should trust him. Ma'aseikin etzal mata Yehuda va'af ikra din. The Behalacha quotes the Kiveger, that Kiveger thinks also like this idea that it should be mutter. Even though the Behalacha takes issue with it, he thinks there's good room to say that you should be allowed to. It would only be this Shabbos. Next Shabbos, it would already be getting involved in Rosh Chodesh. But this Shabbos, he thinks there's a good reason to say you can do it. But Lamaisa, look around, no one does it. So Shmuel Kamenetsky does a very fair thing. He says like this: let's say you're not sure if you have a head to the shave for work. You're not sure. So he says, what you should do is then shave on Friday. Because what in Tinsulam you have a head to the shave for work. Good, so you're shaving for work. It's a little shver. Shave on Friday is going to help for Monday. But okay. And in Tim Salam or not. So no, Al-Kapadim, at least you're shaving. The covered Shabbos, you have to be Saimicha. So what's the shower that everyone always asks? Let's say a person shaves a whole week long. And but he doesn't have any meetings till Monday. So should he shave on Friday for Shabbos? Or should he shave Sunday night for Monday? So they quote, I thought it was always Pashat, but someone told me this by Shemir Bruderman, that it's Pashat. Covered Shabbos, he dictates you're not supposed to shave. Because Kavod Shabbos knows you're supposed to come in without the beard. It's the job that's the problem. The boss is the one that makes you shave. It's not Hashem. Hashem knows you're not going to be able. So if a person knows he's not going to have any meetings from Thursday up till Monday, so he shouldn't shave for Shabbos. Unless you accept the notion over there that there's a head to the shave with Kavod Shabbos. So I think there's a compelling argument that one could make that, again, it would only be for this Shabbos. After next Shabbos, you get involved in other issues. But for this Shabbos, there's definitely a compelling argument. If you're going to learn the Ramagan of Ram with some of the other svaras that we mentioned, there would definitely be a compelling argument why one would be allowed to shave on this Shabbos. But again, to quote what the Acharim say, Puch Chazima Amadvar, most people that don't shave for Shabbos as well. But there's definitely room that a person could justify shaving the Chavit Shabbos at least this week.